For Georgia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ricky Bevington. The 2018 legislative session wrapped up just after midnight last night. The AJC's political insider columnist, Jim Galloway, joins me now to explain this year's winners and losers. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Let's start with hands-free driving. What are the new rules that people are going to start having to obey?
Okay, if the governor signs this, ultimately you will not be able to drive down the road with a phone glued to your ear. You're going to have some sort of device, whether it's Bluetooth, whether it's built into the car. I use a wire, an earpiece, and a wire, and you will have to operate your phone with voice commands. You know, maybe a little touching here and there. The object is to allow to give cops a better handle on whether you're using that as a distraction or not. It's considered very important for them.
Well, yeah, it's hard to police, so we need to give our police officers as much guidance as possible.
Right, and the governor's got 40 days to sign it, but he already endorsed this thing about 10 days ago when it was getting bogged down in the Senate. He gave it a big push.
So over the past decade, Georgia has passed some of the toughest immigration legislation in the nation. But why did this year's immigration enforcement measure fail?
Well, number one, this was an effort from the Senate, pretty much Casey Cagle, to require police departments to cooperate with ICE and other immigration officials when they arrest a suspect. The House, first of all, softened it a little bit. They turned the shalls into mays, which is a very big deal in legal jargon. But then what also happened was that the House Public Safety Committee added a provision on there that was not exactly it didn't get quite to immigration issue, but it went to bail reform, and that might have soured the deal people on it, because it might have contradicted some of the stuff that they had already pushed through the legislature on bail reform. And then, in the end, what I heard from my friends at the state capitol was you had some serious pushback from South Georgia sheriffs specifically, who don't want to be in the position of being required to chase down or lock up the labor needed to pick crops.
Mm-hmm. So it's an economic decision, right? Okay. So transportation, a big vote on transit. Is somebody in Woodstock going to be able to get to, let's say, Forsyth without a car in the near future?
Not without a whole lot of votes and a lot of figuring out. This morning I quoted Nancy Pelosi on this. You know, there are times when you pass the bill and then you figure out what's in it. This is one of those times. and they have established a very Byzantine system for Cobb County to join the network, we will call the ATL, something a little bit easier for Gwinnett to do so, and a third path for Fulton. There's some and smaller counties that are beyond the suburban and into the exurbia. They've got another path to follow. I will tell you the one thing that I would. A couple of weeks ago, Ed Setzler, he's a state house member out of Acworth. He voted against the bill in the end last night. But he pointed out that Cobb County currently spends $13 million of its annual budget on transit, on a bus system. Okay, it's about 0.1%. This legislation would let Cobb spend up to a penny more countywide.
And this legislation does exactly that. It allows people to vote on whether to tax themselves for.
Right.
Transit.
And the area that will get that penny tax, that gets to be decided by Cobb County as well. Necessarily have to be the full county.
And this affects statewide, correct?
Well, what it does is there is a provision for other counties outside the Metro Atlanta area. If one or two counties want to get together and create a transportation plan, an independent transportation plan, they can do so. It won't be part of the ATL. That's a 13 county area that will be divided into 10 districts. So we're going to draw more lines in an already feudal area of Georgia here.
And everybody's got to get along. So finally, Jim, one law that passed actually really is unprecedented in the state of Georgia. It annexes part of the city of Stockbridge in Henry County, south of the city of Atlanta, to create a whole new city of Eagles Landing. Why is this such a big deal, both legally and actually practically?
All right. You know that since 2005, when the legislature created the city of Sandy Springs, we have been on a binge of cityfication.
Yes, cityhood.
Right. The cityhood movement up until this moment has always taken unincorporated portions of a county and made cities out of them. This is the first time where they're reaching in and taking roughly half the geography of Stockbridge, at least half of its tax base, and they're giving it to this new city of Eagles Landing. And, you know, and if you're a city, you have established liabilities, long-term costs. That presents some really interesting questions. There are two questions. Number one, will Nathan Deal sign this bill because of its implications? I mean, think if Buckhead suddenly wants to withdraw from, or the city of Sandy Springs wants to annex Buckhead out of the city of Atlanta.
There are some who would like to annex Buckhead.
Yeah, but think of the chaos that would follow there. All right. So will the governor sign this? And then, of course, I think we're in for a long court battle.
And the fact that there's really no legal precedent either. How does this work? And Stockbridge is not a new town. It's 250 years old.
Yeah, and it is majority African American, and there is a racial element here.
How tease that out a little bit. How is there a racial element to
this?
Well,
number one, Henry County has been changing rapidly demographically. It was a thoroughly Republican county, you know, maybe even 8 years ago. And you've had a huge population shift, and it is it went for Hillary Clinton. Yes, it did. It won for Hillary Clinton in 2016. But Eagles Landing is a pocket of white residents, largely white residents, and that did come out in some of the testimony. That there was one allegation that business investment wasn't coming into a community that was being run by African Americans, and this would satisfy them.
And that is a lot of tax base to lose, 50% for any city anywhere.
Right, by act of the legislature.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is not local control. It's not your traditional view of local control.
As usual, it depends on who you ask. So any predictions of the kinds of bills that we're going to be seeing next year, Jim?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Just last week, I got my first notice from the Georgia Horse Racing Association that they have found two legislators, one in the House, one in the Senate. The one in the Senate is Brandon Beach of Alpharetta, who are going to carry Racino legislation. These are combination racehorse tracks and casinos
in Georgia.
In Georgia,
hard to picture this.
I think they're at this point, their legislation would allow for three venues. You know, think Atlanta, Savannah. And what do you think? Maybe Augusta?
Augusta, maybe. Maybe Columbus?
Yeah.
Tack it onto your master's week?
There you go.
And the likelihood of Georgia seeing legalized gambling?
Well, here's the thing. It's not an election year. 2019 is not an election year.
So lawmakers can take bigger risks.
Exactly.
Jim Galloway, thank you for joining me.
Enjoyed it.
Jim Galloway is the political insider columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.